Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle, the X's Tour Half-Buff Podcast. I am Brian Cohen. Unfortunately, my co-host Allie could not be here tonight, but we were able to dig down and find a replacement, one of my good friends, and actually the person who originally got me into the challenge way back in the day, Mr. Dane Williams. So, Dane, how are you?
Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, how does it feel? First podcast. What are the guys, a little nerves?
Definitely. We've come a long way since 2009, watching The Island in your dorm room.
Yeah.
Long way.
That was my original season. You pushed it upon me, and here we are. I'm doing a decently rated podcast. All thanks to you.
App description.
So I feel like I need to like offer up a little bit of your qualifications. It's almost like I called you up on the witness stand. So what is your challenge history backgrounds?
There are no qualifications.
No qualifications.
No qualifications. I have none. I just watch the show and I just want, you know, public forum. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Try to come up a little witty apartheid.
I mean, I'm not here to entertain or be funny. Let's just get that straight. I'm kind of like Eddie Murphy in that SNL reunion, all right?
Don't get all emotional on me. We don't want that. we got the first fake laugh of the podcast, too. Then we're off to a great start.
That's a real laugh.
Real laugh? Okay.
Real laugh, yeah. What am I going to do, fake laugh? We don't have a laugh track here.
We don't have any drops, no fake laugh tracks. That would be really cool, but no, we don't. So before we jump into this one, what is your thoughts on this season overall? How are you liking it?
I'm loving it. I am loving it. I cannot get enough of the challenge. I'm loving this exile twist. It makes everything so interesting. I cannot wait for next week's episode.
Yeah, I think it's been a pretty strong season. Decently constructed cast. So we jump into this week. We start off at our regular bar. That we were at every single week with Leroy giving a little pump-up speech to Naya, and it's one of the rare teams that actually have a pretty good rapport with each other. So what are your thoughts on Leroy and Naya as a pair so far this season?
They have to be considered one of the front runners to win. Yeah. They've won two domes. I mean, that's pretty impressive, and they just dispatched... Who did they just dispatch?
The great Avery and Johnny.
Yeah. I mean, they're just on a roll. And then Bananas and Nani, those are two really strong teams.
Yeah, and we've seen a really good side of Leroy this time, as opposed to some of the other seasons, as Kyle Jaleel points out. He says, are you guys happy that we see a different side of Leroy this season? Because he's usually bringing his A, because he's really bringing his A game a lot, unlike other seasons he's done. So yeah, I'm really loving the fire that we see with Leroy, whether it's being when he's joining the deliberation, or even just his treatment with Nai and keeping her ready to go at all times. So that's been really good to say.
Leroy definitely deserves a plus one.
Absolutely. Major plus ones going around for Leroy. That is our version of you killed it. Yeah, this has been Leroy's MVP season. You know, he's had a great rookie season with Mike and Rivals, but now he's coming into his own as one of the top-notch players.
Sometimes it takes, you know, these studs some time to develop. You know, he was a great prospect, and now he's finally breaking out.
Absolutely, yeah. The promise is finally living up to the hype, which is great to see. And then Naya says a couple interesting things where she is a little tired of the fact that Jay and Jenna are getting a pass and really wants to see them, to maybe use this banana term, earn their stripes in an elimination. So what are your thoughts about carrying a team to a final that you think you can easily beat, or making someone earn their way there?
It's called the challenge. You're supposed to bring the weakest team to the final. You make more money that way. It makes complete sense to me. Why wouldn't you?
I totally agree. I don't understand why that was nice. I thought Leroy and I would have a good mindset, be able to take their mind out of it, but it seemed like at least they're still heated off being thrown in by them, but they have to realize that that would not have been the best move, and luckily we see later on that they do wise up. But yeah, I mean, if you can go to the end with all Jay and Jenna's, I think that's the way to go. Screw integrity. Integrity doesn't pay the bills.
No, getting Jay and Jenna to a final gets you paid.
Yes, absolutely. And Nye even spells it out to Zach that it's time for Jenna's time to be thrown in. It seemed like Zach was pretty okay with it. He was like, all right, well, this is where the wolves start eating each other. I think he was pretty on board with Jenna being thrown in, it seemed like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Zach's on board with doing ever. I don't know what's going on in his head. I'm not going to pretend to analyze him. He has had an interesting season, to say the least.
That's very, yeah, Zach, of all the things Zach's done, probably him willing to cut Genelus is not the lowest on the totem pole, so that is not a big surprise. Where do you stand with Zach? Because obviously this season he's been pretty much an asshole, but have you been a fan of his previous few challenges?
Big fan of Zach's previous few challenges. Unfortunately, he's, you know, said some chauvinistic comments this season, and have to look at him in a different light. Unfortunately, and I'm telling you, that TV with Janae, whenever he's with Janae, very uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable. Do you think this is more of his true side, or do you think there's something deeper going on with Zach about what's going on with him and Janae?
I honestly have no idea. I think it has to be somewhat of an act for the cameras, but I can't believe he'd be, you know, this misogynistic on television, but maybe that is him. I'm sure he's not happy to be with Janae, though.
Yeah, I really don't know why he... I mean, Alex Panamaran had a conspiracy theory. He thinks... he says, do you think Zach just keeps saying bad things about Janae so that in his eyes, she's the bad guy to justify why he left her and not feel bad about it? Do you think there's any possibility that he's trying to pin all the hatred to make him feel a little bit more of a victim?
That sounds good to me. I'm not trying to analyze this relationship at all. That is way too emotional and in-depth for me. I am all about the partying and the hooking up. Wish there was more of that. This just makes me feel uncomfortable at home. Every week, Zach just seems to dig himself a deeper hole.
I feel like a therapist would have a field day going, having Zach as a patient. There's a lot to dive in on there.
Plus one for that comment.
That's
very true. First plus one.
The podcast plus one. It's an honor.
Yeah. Big moment.
We have a callback to Jersey Shore with Sarah choosing to write a letter to Jordan to try to express her emotions. What was the last thing you wrote a letter to someone?
Somebody's yearbook, probably.
I think that's probably right. I don't think I even use pen and paper anymore.
Like, maybe I had a pen pal in middle school, maybe. But, yeah, not really writing letters. Email is the way to go, but...
I wish we got more shots of Sarah's notebook. There's a lot of stuff written there, even before...
Honestly, this might be first unpopular opinion alert. I hate this storyline. I am not a fan at all.
Of just Sarah and Jordan's fight?
Are they fighting?
I don't know that they're fighting.
They live in a house 24-7. I just think they're annoyed at each other.
And Jordan, I can see Jordan being the type of guy where if something's bothering him, he'll let it fester and grow. So, yeah, if they were able to distance themselves, it probably wouldn't be an issue.
Let's just say if Sarah brought up the 8-word comment to Jordan, that would have sparked an even bigger fight. Jordan doesn't strike me as the type of guy who likes his word count, you know, likes somebody counting how many words he's spoken to them. And also, what's the big deal? I mean, they have not seen a dome. They're one of the stronger teams. I don't even know what they're fighting about.
I don't get it. Even when they keep showing the flashbacks of what Jordan was supposedly getting upset about Sarah over, all he was saying is, like, fight through the pain, you know, he's trying to just motivate her. I still don't understand where the hatred that Sarah had for Jordan is coming from.
Let me clarify. I like both of these competitors. I actually want them both to do well. I just hate this storyline. There's, you know, sack up and you're a strong team, win some money.
Yeah, well, luckily Sarah's letter did the charm. Jordan, they hugged it out. Sarah shed a few tears, and the Wonder Twins are back. Probably one of the worst nicknames in challenge history, I thought.
Definitely not better than the JEK Empire.
No, nothing beats that.
No, best nickname.
So we get the 8th challenge. I love TJ always specifies the number, just in case you weren't sure what episode we're on. We're on the 8th challenge.
I'm never sure what challenge episode we're on, honestly. I just know they happen every week.
Yeah, sometimes we get 2 eliminations a week, to be continued. But this week we get speed dating, which is probably one of the cooler challenges they've ever done, at least in a while. Do you remember anything close to this in past challenges?
No, this has to be the best challenge. Leroy described it right. It's like being in a movie.
Yeah, so basically both competitors are on top of a semi-truck. The semi-trucks start going. I guess they hit exactly 30 miles an hour, and then they hit cruise control. They're not allowed to go any further than that, I guess. They were very specific with the miles per hour.
Were they specific about the rules of this game at all? I have to ask, was I just not paying attention?
You know, whenever TJ explains the rules, I usually never fully understand what they're supposed to do. And then when I see the challenge, and then if I go back and watch him explain it again, I'll see what he was talking about, but I'm usually so confused about what they're supposed to do.
I asked that because did Zach, I didn't understand how Zach didn't get that last ball. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. I probably am.
Get to that, but yeah, because he only, supposedly only one ball didn't count, but didn't he always get two balls? So I don't understand why one ball would count if one ball
wouldn't. At the end, they said he jumped before Janae got back, but I don't remember that being explained. Maybe your podcast listeners can correct me if I'm just not paying attention. I watched the episode twice half drunk, so I think that constitutes a full viewing, I believe, but
I'm wrong. Two halves equal one, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the only things... I mean, even when he was explaining the rules about the guy having to stay like on the outside of the girl, otherwise the wires get crossed.
That I understood. MTV production just has been having difficulties this season. But yeah, I'm not even going to get started on that.
I mean, I can understand them taking extra safety precautions with them jumping across moving trucks in case something happens. And I wonder if they had to sign another waiver on top of the original waiver that they've signed, or if the first waiver they signed covers jumping across moving trucks.
I hope it does, because it's completely worth it.
So we got to see Leroy and Naya go first, of all the challenges, this is just pure fear factor of wanting not to go first. Because if you see other people go, then you know it's not so bad. But you see Naya get a little freaked out going first. But eventually, once they get going, I mean, they kill it. They get 10. They set the bar really high just to further stake their claim as one of the dominant teams.
I mean, after Naya got over her fear, it looked like she was a little bit hesitant at first. She admitted so. They really just ran through that challenge. 10 balls was really tough to beat. Did you know that it was also going to be based off time, a tiebreaker off time? Did they explain that? Not to rehash it.
No, they didn't explain that. And I guess it was time based on, because obviously the trucks are all moving at the same speed. So just based on when you put the 10th ball in the slot is the timing, right? I guess. Yeah, they didn't fully explain that.
I don't know, but okay.
Yeah.
Not to digress, but
no,
I did.
Fine.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
the rules for this one were definitely a little iffy.
Just saying, MTV, how about a three-way tiebreaker? I don't know, a little bit more drama. Think about it next time.
Yeah,
maybe they ran out of gas in the trucks. I don't know.
They should get then line up 6 trucks and have them all going at the same time and see the first one to get like 4 balls in first. That'd be nice to say, but one can only wish.
Well, yeah, you are the only one who wishes that, so, yeah.
I hope for big things. Zach and Jonae go, and once again, Zach gets furious at Jonae for really just being overzealous, is what it comes down to.
I mean, it is silly that she jumps off, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing to yell at her about. You still got 10, and that's just ridiculous. Maybe you should find out what's going on beforehand. You just egg on your face, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of... Everyone's been wondering what the whole Zach and Jonae thing... Maybe they were teasing something up for Zach struggling and Jonae doing well. And this was kind of the first part of that with Zach really costing them being the power couple. So that was a little redeeming to see Jonae get a little one over on Zach.
Yeah, definitely plus one for Jonae for not screwing up. And I guess for making Zach look like an a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's someone like Nye who could basically just walk across the trucks. Jonae really has some
leap
across.
She has some vertical jump on her. Jay Bills would be proud. Some wingspan.
Yeah.
She looks so athletic jumping.
Her draft status is moving up. Knicks could probably use her.
Complete opposite to Jonae. Still impressed by Janae's outing.
Yeah, no, Jonae did. She did pretty solid. She
I thought that was
solid.
A pretty athletic move, jumping back. She almost screwed up royally there.
Yeah.
Awesome, the challenge.
When the trucks
were
separating, she was able to scurry on back. Very James Bond-like.
Scurry on. Yep, that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Then we have the big screw-up of the challenge with Jordan and Sarah. Jordan, I guess, goes over or under. Whichever one you're not supposed to do, Jordan messes up and their wires caught.
I think he went on the inside.
On
I think
the
you were also.
Of Sarah,
I
so
believe
Sarah.
It was inside outside.
Okay,
that's what my inside sources are telling me.
That's what their sources are telling me.
Yeah, that's what they're tweeting at me.
Okay. Yeah, so their wires get caught and they can't get them untangled, and that's basically it. They're done. They get 4 balls and they're in deep shit.
Big screw up. I mean, you're pretty much automatically going to the dome at that point. You have to mentally prepare. Just really big screw up. I mean, I don't know if maybe because Sarah tried going back 3 times, they just couldn't fix it again, but
Right, because we see Jay and Jenna go later, and they were able, Jenna got caught, went back, and then, yeah, they were able to untangle. So I guess maybe the more times you keep moving, it gets more tangled, which I guess the physics of it kind of make a little bit of sense.
I got to give it up to Jay and Jenna, honestly. That's twice now they've outclassed Jordan and Sarah, first in the trivia contest, and now here being able to unhook themselves and get six balls.
Yeah, I mean, it was. What did you think of them? I think once they got six, they basically just stopped.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You were fine with them not even trying to get 10?
Why? What are you going to do? Get 8 there? And you're still in the same position?
What's the downside? What's the downside of doing this? When are you ever going to be jumping across trucks again?
DQ.
Was there a way to DQ? I think it was clear that once John A. just jumped off and that didn't do anything, I don't think you could DQ.
I thought it's because they had finished already. That's why Janae falling off didn't matter.
Maybe.
Just goes to show you how confusing this game is. So
that could be right. I don't know. Yeah, so they get six. They're done. And Wes and Teresa. I love Wes's quote before he went on. He's like, if anyone questions why people with real jobs still do this, and to be fair, I don't think any of them really have real jobs. So that could be one reason.
Well, Wes and his companies. Do not badmouth him and his companies.
I mean, I know Wes has his 30 companies, his monster truck, and he's got all that. But he still has next time for the challenge.
I have to say, I love that overhead truck camera. That was a nice little wrinkle to the challenge.
Yes, and I thought the slow-mo camera work was the best. I know they use it pretty much all the time, but I thought it worked the best.
They've really been going to that well this season, the slow-mo camera. They've been breaking out a lot more. They're liking that, too.
Yeah, the production quality of the season is, I think, has been the best.
Yeah, I can't even tell when they go to a TJ green screen anymore.
Yeah, I haven't really heard TJ's voiceover scene. Yeah, those have been... I think TJ's on his game this year. Shout out to him.
Shout out to the production crew as well.
So, yeah, we get 3 teams with 10 because Zach screwed up and one of his balls didn't count. And Leroy and I had the quickest time, so they are the power couple after going in first and after coming off an elimination win. Look at them.
From last to first? Such a huge win. Or from the dome to first, I guess, is a more apt description.
From
the
dome and going first to claiming power couple status. And as Jay says, he's expecting to be thrown in. He thinks he's screwed.
I'm expecting Jay to get thrown in after TJ announces Leroy won. He just cannot stop looking at Jay after that win. He looks like he is out for some blood and revenge.
Yeah, Leroy, you can see the fires. Like he wanted this power couple move just to have some power in this game, because they haven't really had much. They've been kind of tossed in a few times and they've kind of been on the bottom. So Leroy really was salvaging this power position. And then we have one of my favorite scenes, probably the season with this week's power couple dinner. We have Zach and Jeanne trying to hash things out, but because Zach, as he says, is an egotistical monster, it does not end well, because his version of apology is basically, "I'm sorry, you're mad at me."
Yeah, his version of apology is, "I can just get up whenever I want," and to not talk about it. So, bad look on Zach some more.
I
don't know if he can look any worse.
I don't think so either. I'm very curious to see what goes down at the reunion, to see if he owns up to some of this stuff, if he apologizes, if he has any remorse for what he's done. Because I think even now, like, a lot of the people on the show, on Twitter, social media, they're all really starting to separate themselves from Zach about just, this is really one of the more despicable things we've seen on the challenge in quite some time. Probably really since what Bananas did to, like, Evelyn and Kellyanne on the island.
No, I don't know. This might be worse.
It's close. At least Bananas has been remorseful about that, saying that he was a real asshole.
Yeah,
to see if Zach will do the same.
I don't think anything comes from a place of hate for Bananas, but definitely, I don't know. There's definitely something going on with Zach. So to answer your question, Katrin Stutz, who are the challenge's biggest douchebags? Zach is the challenge's biggest douchebag.
Who? I don't even know who is even second.
Who's second?
Is there anyone even close?
Isn't it Laurel?
It's probably Laurel. Laurel's a tough one.
Just because we like her act doesn't mean she's not... I mean, that Big Easy thing has to put her in the top two.
And even the Paula tirade. That was brutal.
Yeah,
I don't remember who she was, but calling her anorexic and all that stuff, that was tough.
Yeah, not good.
So yeah, then we get the most epic power couple dinner of the season. No, I've been pimping that. Everyone gets pizza. It seems like some people get fish every once in a while. But then Leroy and Naya finally win power couple. and they get fried chicken. Very interesting choice by production. Jude Ray Amario, so if another team won Power Couple, would the dinner have been fried chicken? So what do you think? Is this, were they waiting to whip out the fried chicken for Leroy and Naya?
I would have to think so. This cannot just be a coincidence, can it? Like, fried chicken was just queued up in the rotation?
I don't know. It's very risky, because I think with anyone else, this could have been a very dicey situation where some racial overtones were kind of tossed around. But because it's Leroy, he's able just to laugh it off and just enjoy it. But
don't get me wrong. I would prefer fried chicken out of the other meals this season.
Yes.
You get some good protein. I mean, I don't know how often you're getting protein during the challenge.
I wonder where they got that fried chicken. Maybe it was KFC. Who knows? But Alex Pandemaran says, what's a better Power Couple dinner, pizza, fish, or fried chicken? So let me twist that to a Rob as a podcast question. Ding, marry, kill. Pizza, fish, fried chicken.
Well, what were the options?
It's ding is fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, okay. Gotcha,
pizza, gotcha. Pizza, fish, fried chicken.
I think I would have to ding, fish, marry fried chicken, kill pizza, because I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a fair answer. I cannot imagine killing pizza. I think for me, I would marry pizza. I'd probably ding fried chicken and kill fish. But I am really starting to love fish, so it's with a heavy heart that I have to kill fish. But
I'm not happy about it, but tough decisions have to be made, like who goes in the dome.
Yes, and look at you, leading, you're making great transitions.
That's what we call in the biz, a segue.
You're a natural over here.
Yeah, right, definitely the loquacious type.
Dropping loquacious, making transitions, you're
natural. Let me just set the record straight. In no way am I trying to replace Allie. If anything, I'm disproving Zach's theory that women are inferior to men right now.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for next week when it's Allie and you hosting the show, and I've been kicked out, so don't worry about it.
I'm not going to reveal my cards, but we might be in talks already.
I know Wes is probably pulling the strings for both of you to get in, because that's what he does this time around.
Master manipulation.
Yeah, so we start with Leroy talking to Zach and Jonna, and basically right off the bat, Leroy says to Zach, you're safe. 100% you're safe.
Yeah, go get your beauty rest, go put on your facial mask, go do that sort of thing, and get some rest for tomorrow.
Yeah, Zach says he's going to sleep like a baby, so he's off to bed. And then they summon over Zach's girlfriend and Mr. J. I like the way you're flipping over some paper. That means we know you have notes. Good job by you.
Yeah, I actually missed something before. I'll skip by it, but...
So we got Leroy talking to Jay and Jenna, and... Jenna's not in a position to beg. She's like, if you want to throw us in, throw us in. But he seems like Leroy finally has wisened up. That's a word, right? Is wisened up a word? I know you're the smarter one of the two, but we'll go with wisened up. And says that throwing you guys in is not really the smartest move. I'm thrilled to hear that.
I'm very ecstatic to hear that. Finally, Leroy making a correct political move in this game. This might be the first time ever.
Yeah, I mean, we've just, like, last season, I believe Teresa tried to do any sort of move with Leroy or talk politics at all. Leroy's like, I want none of it. Now, he's leading a Power Couple dinner. He's trying to manipulate people, get everyone on his side. He's making decisions that are best in his interest. I mean, this has just been an all-around, just unbelievable season.
Banner year.
Absolutely. As a back of the baseball catcher would say, this is a Hall of Fame season. Only one look back on his challenge career point to Battle of the X's 2 was the turning point of Leroy's challenge career, I think.
Definitely making a case for the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And then we get one of the most epic manipulations and discussions.
So I have an interesting theory about this. I want you to go first, though, and then I'll tell you what I think.
I was just going to set it up that Wes turns the table on Leroy and basically takes Power Couple status and just fully explains why throwing in Zach and Jonna would be better than throwing in him. But what is your theory?
Well, that was a terrible setting up. Was that your setup?
It was a brief setup because I'm very curious about your theory. I love your theory.
All right. So while they're discussing this, I don't know if you noticed Naya wink at all. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I know she's smiling.
Naya was making some facial reactions. She was winking. I'm pretty sure that Naya is pulling the strings behind the scenes. I'm willing to give Naya the benefit of the doubt about this.
I would not put it past it. I know we got a little confessional.
Pretty sure she was part of Team Upstairs. with Wes.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely with one of those toasts a couple episodes ago when he was doing that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think Wes and I might have had a conversation, and
I think it's possible. I think it's maybe Nye told Wes that Leroy could be swayed, but I think he still needed to say it to sway Leroy, because Leroy, it seemed like Nye was giving the reins over to Leroy to make the final call. So I think Wes still needed to do some dirty work to get Leroy on his side.
I just don't think it makes sense to throw in Wes and Teresa, because if they come back, he's admitting to you that you're on your own.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. I thought not only was Wes's argument great for him, I thought it absolutely made sense for Leroy, as Stephen Lien says. I usually cannot stand Wes, but the movie pulled on Leroy Zach was one of the most brilliant sly things I've seen as of late. He threw Zach under the bus and handed Leroy the key so he can run him over. It was brilliant.
Loved Wes's move. I will disagree about throwing Zach under the bus. I don't think he did that at all. In fact, this might be one of the few times when Wes plays an honest game, all he's doing is telling Leroy exactly what's going on. He doesn't lie to Leroy at all. So, I don't know. When he's actually being honest, he's a pretty strong player.
Yeah, he's being honest. Yeah, he's being honest, but he's being honest in a, you know, I don't want to get rid of Zach, but if I was going to get rid of Zach, this is how I would do it type of way. So, I mean, he's not like...
That's called the challenge.
Oh, I'm not blaming Wes at all.
Not at all. I love his move, and I love Leroy's move. It's
I thought all people did the best move for the game possible. I thought just Leroy and Nye not throwing in Jay and Jenna was the best, not throwing in Wes and Teresa was the best, and Wes getting them to throw in Zach was the best move for all around.
I would have been thoroughly disappointed in Leroy if they throw in Jay and Jenna.
Absolutely. I think we have one more. No, never mind. I got to it.
What?
I thought we had another question on it, but...
Well, we have a bunch of questions.
Yeah, we have a bunch of questions on it, but Vincent Cloud also says, does anyone else feel Wes has won every single power couple dinner he's ever sat down for, including days he didn't win the challenge? You either shake his hand or do his dirty work.
Great point, Vincent. Plus one for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been a vote that really Wes has been on the opposite side on all season. He's either been doing the voting or the person really voting is doing what he wants him to do.
He's having a great year too. Great comeback season for Wes.
Yeah, we've...
Well, I guess it's not really a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, he is coming off a win, which a lot of people do forget in what CT...
As I just did.
Yeah. But even that season, like, he was good, but it wasn't... He was just good because him and CT basically just dominated most of the challenges. This is the first time in a while where we're seeing the true political side of him again. So it's good to see that side of him and seeing maybe how he's running all of his companies.
I have to say, Teresa was definitely impressed. We're glossing over that. It's always good when your ex gives you props for being a master manipulator.
I think anyone who can speak coherent sentences gets admiration from Teresa, because she is not really one to go anywhere near the political game. So seeing Wes do this is basically like watching a god at work for her. But yeah, Teresa was in awe of what Wes was doing.
They're my number one team.
It's hard to argue. Leroy and I might give an argument, but I think he's still got to go with Wes and Teresa. So we get to, then Leroy goes up to Zach and tells him that he's going to vote him in. And it seems like Zach is not really sure. He doesn't really understand, I think, the reason why he's being thrown in. He thinks he's being thrown in because they're threatened by him. They don't want to see him in a final. But that is
You're referring to the speech before they throw him in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also love how Leroy actually follows through and doesn't bring up Wes's name at all. Flat out actually lies to Zach about Wes being involved at all in the bedroom when he admits to Zach that they're going in the night before. I mean, loving it.
That's the type of moment that is really important for Leroy, and not just like this season, but going forward, because these people are on so many shows that Wes can see that he didn't lie to, didn't throw him under the bus to Zach, and it'll help them rekindle a type of bond or alliance for next season. That's the interesting part about the challenge. It's not just like a one thing and done type show where you don't have to worry about these people going forward. But now,
like Leroy said, Wes is a fucking little snake. So that's a quote. So
You don't want Wes going after you.
I don't think you can plan on teaming up with him in future seasons.
But you also don't want to plan on him coming after you. And that's something Leroy was able to avoid by doing that. So, good job. Again, I keep throwing more praise to Leroy, but he deserves it. This is just
now, do you think he's actually worried about facing Zach?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone really is. A, because I don't think John A would be that good of a partner in a final.
Janae's a good runner, I thought.
I think she's okay. I mean, she struggled a little bit with that puzzle in the first, that kind of mini final. But I think the bigger reason is Zach's not really that good of a final performer. I mean, does he forget him basically needing surgery during the free agents final? He almost collapsed and died, like, multiple times.
Tough to forget when Laurel's calling him out on Twitter for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zach is just hoping everyone forgets that season. That he's like, oh, people are scared to see me in the final. Like, actually, no, you're probably more of a goat to bring to the end than someone that people will fear seeing you in the
end.
You
know who's been more impressive with their absence? Frank. That Battle of the Seasons win is looking more and more impressive.
Yeah, no, he was being great. I don't think he got eliminated just because he's sick. He had, like, the flu or something like that, something in his lungs. He never lost an elimination, I don't think, in all the seasons he was in. Yeah. I hope his retirement is not for real, because I think the show's really missing him.
I'll agree with that.
He was basically the Jordan before Jordan appeared, about being the one that started taking on some of the veterans. But now we just have Jordan.
Yay.
So then, yeah, we finally get to deliberation with Leroy tossing in Zach officially. I love Janice still thinking 100% certainty that she was going in, just showing that she has absolutely no idea what's going on in the house. So keep doing you, Jenna.
Hey, it's worked out so far. Jay and Jenna don't want to know anything about the house, don't care.
It's amazing about how they've just completely been forgotten about, and I think they think they're, like, deserving of this spot, but do they think that people view them as tough competitors? They know that they're just being brought along at this point, right?
Yeah, they have to know, don't they? I mean, obviously you have a hope that you can still win, but you have to assume that you're just there to be everyone's luggage for the finals. You're their carry-along luggage.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, they did a good job of not sucking tremendously, so that's kudos to them. They always seem to, outside of the trivia one, I bet they're always finishing either, like, second to last or third to last in all these challenges. But that's all you gotta do is just not finish last, so good job by them. We finally get to, well, we're before the dome. Leroy wants basically Jay and Janice to bow down at his feet and start thanking him immensely. And they kind of do that when he goes up to them, but they're kind of just like, yeah, you didn't throw us in, thanks, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't think they thought they thanked him at all, honestly. It seemed like they were just happy not to be thrown in, and let's see what happens next week. That's the sense I got from Jay.
Maybe they have come to the realization, they're like, no one really wants to throw us in, so we could do basically whatever we want, and no one's going to come after us as long as we just keep catching a couple breaks and don't lose a challenge. We're going to be in the final, and finishing third and probably getting, what was it, $15,000, $20,000, whatever it is? Screw it up.
Yeah, they'll screw it up. I have faith in both of them to screw it up. Let me you just say
faith,
that.
You have faith that you don't have faith.
No, I have complete faith they'll screw up.
We get to the dome this week, which I thought that, I think, once again, the domes have been, I've been very impressed with every single one of them, outside of, obviously, the food eating one. But once again, this one, hammer at home. You have a sledgehammer. You have a piece of cement, concrete.
High beam. Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
You're here to correct me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The guy starts off. You have to hit it to get to a midway point, and then the girl takes over to get it to go the rest of the way. And as Zach says, this, you would think, To hit a bell at the end, because it's always a bell. Either a bell or a TJ ringing his air horn. This seemed like perfect for Zach. He is Thor. He's got to use Thor's hammer. You would think he would do very well, but that doesn't seem to be the case. He struggles.
That's not the case at all. Not the case at all. Jordan whoops him. You wouldn't think Jordan, you know, he's got one hand. You would think it would be a harder challenge for him, but he honestly does kill it, as TJ says.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
he deserves his kill it points. Let me just say that.
I mean, enough isn't really made about the type of stuff Jordan's able to do with just really having one hand. He just knows how to do everything so well that even something like this, you know, he can he knows how to properly swing a sledgehammer to, as opposed to Zach, who basically just tries to punch the thing to get it all the way through rather than using the sledgehammer correctly.
Looked like it was all about getting into a rhythm and just putting some power behind it, but Zach just, the slow-mos were great to see Zach just look like completely whiff on the high beams. I did see sparks, but I also saw the high beam not move at all.
Yeah, and we also saw a panic in his eyes as he was staring at Jordan.
Oh, that was great.
Seeing him beat him. I mean, Jordan beat Zach in this challenge, and I don't think anyone saw that coming at all.
Jordan definitely makes a name for himself right now, if he hasn't already, taking out Zach, probably the strongest male competitor.
I think this is probably Jordan's most impressive performance that he's had in his couple challenges and all the different competitions he's done. Beating Zach and this type of thing really shows what he's really capable of.
It also shows what Zach isn't capable of, which is funny because Janae actually looked like caught up.
Yeah, you know, you go into the challenge, you think, all right, well, Zach's going to give Janae a big lead, and it's just a matter of if Sarah passes her, but it's the exact opposite because it seems like either Janae is doing better than Sarah, or at the very least is matching her pretty well when they get going, despite the fact that Sledgehammer is basically the size of Janae.
I'm very impressed by Janae that she just kept going. It didn't look like she stopped or gave up at all. She is a good partner. Like she said, she's a strong competitor.
Yeah, I mean, we see Jordan and Sarah each giving each other encouragement, but I mean, maybe I missed it. I don't think Zach was even doing anything encouraging to Janae throughout the elimination. Did you even hear anything about like a college?
I believe he started getting encouraged. He gave encouragement, I believe, when Janae wasn't screwing up. So I don't know if that's really encouragement. Maybe it was more exclamation of surprise that Janae was catching up, but I'm not gonna say anything positive about him. It's okay. Janae killed it, and two, she deserves to kill it. Zach deserves scorn and ridicule from DJ for that performance.
He deserved that, absolutely. I wish he did get it, but the weirdest part was after, obviously, not really spoiler, but Jordan and Sarah win, remain in the house. And then Sarah congratulating Janae on a good effort, and Zach wants none of it. Every time Sarah says something nice, he's all, shut the fuck up, go away, this is ridiculous. I mean, even in his final moments, Zach needs to go out like a jackass.
Definitely. I'm willing to chalk it up to being angry that the person who beat you is giving you, you know, oh, good job, good effort. Good job, good effort. That's kind of the way I look at it for Zach. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But maybe, you know, back that up with you did great, Janae, in the interview. Even Knight seemed to not say something completely mean about Jemmy when they got eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, Zach, in any type of confessional talking to camera, he never says anything nice to say about Janae. The entire season, basically, as Kristen Nahr says, do you enjoy it as much as I do when Zach manages to fail miserably at a good amount of things that you think he'd excel at? Yeah, it's. I mean, they were kind of, everyone was hoping that this would be the setup all season, that once Janae and Zach went into elimination, that Zach would be the one to screw up. And I mean, it's not like Zach screwed up amazingly, but I mean, he did lose to Jordan, and he was the reason why they were even in the domes to begin with, so this was the Janae redemption episode.
Yeah, Janae definitely held up her end of the bargain this episode, and Zach just let the team down, so let's see if he can pick himself back up. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, one question from... Brian looking for question music.
I was attempting to, but...
Emily Zitterkoff asks, can we all agree Janae was probably so disappointed the game isn't over for them? I feel like she got a Thor-sized weight off her shoulders just to be crushed again. So what do you think? When they found that they were in exile, was Janae relieved?
Yeah, she looks super disappointed.
I think Janae was ready to pack up her bags, never see Zach again, but...
She was ready to get out of there, take her per diem, and go home.
Yeah, but that is not the case, as they will square off against Bananas and Nani in the final Exile next week. And so we have some questions about how this is going to play off. Emily Zitterkoff says, from the editing of the Nexon, is it safe to say that we get Banani versus Douchebag and Janae in a dome, and whoever wins that comes back? And if that is the case, we have 5 teams left, so 2 more challenges until the final. So yeah, I think that's the way it's going to play out, that next week is the final exile. And I think it's going to happen probably in the episode, you would guess, right? This won't be an online thing?
I mean, did you watch this week's online exile?
Well, they just, so they showed that
they got a notice. They got a text message saying, "Well, you have your game face on tomorrow night," something like that. So I'm assuming they're gonna hold the final exile in the dome.
Yeah, maybe on one of their T-Mobile sidekicks, they got the text going old school.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely clear to answer whoever asked this question that it's Benanni and it's Benanni coming out. Those are the silhouettes. I'm willing to bet that. But I'm assuming then there has to be a challenge between the two of them.
They kind of tease it with the silhouettes. I mean, those silhouettes are clearly Bananas and Nani. I mean, there's no way
that's ponytail is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, but do you think that's the silhouette of them because they just want? I think it's just them re-entering for the final dome. It's got to be just
running in. Yeah, when TJ goes, what you don't know is there are teams coming back and competing. Right. Runs them.
They'll probably have John A and Zach there first because obviously they were just eliminated, and then here are their opponents, and it's Bananas and Nani.
We need a physical challenge between Zach and Bananas. That needs to happen.
Any type of stupid thing that they did last year with Laurel and Teresa when they just had to do a series of puzzles. No, this needs to be Oklahoma drill style, battle it out, see what happens. They need really something big for this final exile.
And then watch Nani defeat Janae twice, and that's the match we'll get twice. Instead of Bananas and Zach twice, we'll get those two twice. Yeah. Just mop the floor.
Absolutely.
Prediction.
There it is. Dana prediction. So let's play it out from both sides. Let's say Bananas and Nani come back. Sirha Murdy, I butchered that name.
You are so good at the names.
I'm horrible at names. So. It's really bad. They ask, will every team throw in Bananas to the dome if they return from exile? So do they have any friends waiting for them if they get back to the house?
I'm assuming Jordan and Sarah are their friend, but I don't really know beyond that.
Yeah, I would say Jordan and Sarah maybe are. I mean, obviously Wes and Teresa aren't.
I can see Leroy and Naya being on their crew. I don't know. I mean, Leroy's shown he's a wild card this season. I would not put anything past him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, even Jordan's there. I mean, I would say that, yes, they're on their side, but at this point,
you just want to throw in the strongest team, save Jay and Jenna, absolutely. Don't you?
Would you rather go up against Jay and Jenna in the final or Bananas and Nani? So, I mean, if Bananas and Nani, I think they re-enter the house, they're number one target. And honestly, I think the best thing for Wes and Teresa might be Bananas and Nani re-entering because it kind of takes the target off them a little bit and back to Bananas and Nani.
Very well could. I will say, I expect Jordan and Sarah, if they were to win, to throw in Leroy and Naya. I think that would be a smart move.
I think so. I think that's probably fair.
I have to think Leroy is the toughest male competitor standing.
Yeah, I think I agree. Is Naya all of a sudden now the toughest female? I guess Sarah is probably, would you say Sarah's number one?
Man, I got Teresa at number one. I think, number one? Yeah, she's really good. She's really athletic. She hasn't done anything to disappoint me this season.
Yeah, Teresa's.
Has she had a down episode? Really?
I mean, they were struggling on that one challenge when they had get paint on each other, but that wasn't really Teresa's fault. That was probably more Wes, I think. But yeah, for physical competitions, Teresa's been great this year. Her social game maybe has been bit of an issue. Andrew Kirk's with you. He says, I know you guys said, I know you guys said Wes and Teresa are number one on your power rankings, but with the way Leroy and Naya have been winning, would you put them number one? So you have Wes and Teresa number one.
Are we including the exile teams at this point?
Let's just do it from the four left.
All right, so let's go last first. Jay and Jenna, right?
Jay and Jenna are last in any scenario. So who do you have third?
I gotta go Leroy and Naya because they can't swim.
Yeah, I think so.
I hate doing it, but
it's interesting. I think Leroy and Naya would be the team I would least want to face in elimination, but they're the team I'd be happiest going against in the final.
Probably.
Between Sarah and Jordan and Wes and Teresa, it is so close between those two.
I don't think it's that close at all. Got to give it to Wes and Teresa. Yeah. They have the experience.
I mean, Wes does. Teresa and Sarah are probably basically the same amount of experience. But yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to go against West, so I think that's fair.
Yeah, but Sarah's what, 0-8? She'll have that pressure during a final. She'll crack at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm hoping they both, Jordan and Sarah, both make it to a final, because I'm interested to see what happens when Sarah cracks and how Jordan responds.
Yeah, I would love to see Wes and Teresa against Sarah and Jordan in a final. I think that would be pretty epic. Now, if Bananas and Nadi come back, where do you put them? Are they right back up number one?
I think they're back to number one. Have to be. I honestly think going to Exile was the best thing that could have happened to Bananas and Nadi.
They haven't really struggled in any of these Exiles. I think this will probably be the toughest battle they have to date against Zach, depending upon what the challenge is, but I mean,
I think removing themselves from the house had to be great for their psyche. They're not fighting anymore, it looks like, in the videos, the extra videos. I don't know. I mean, compare that to Jordan and Sarah, who are fighting.
And they're just chilling. They don't have to deal with the stress of all this stuff. So it is, I mean, if you can win in these Exiles, it obviously is a lot better than being in the house, but it's just also the...
Well, there's definitely a psychological advantage to being the champ every week, too.
Yeah. I mean, Bananas, he's not going to get he's not going to get flustered by anything, so...
Do you really think... So I found this interesting. Bananas is talking about how this could be his greatest, like, accomplishment if he gets back into the house. I kind of believe him when he says it,
too. I kind of think that, too. I still think he'll probably put, like, maybe a win or two above that, but I think it's just the pure satisfaction that he's going to get from returning and seeing Wes just absolutely shit himself. For people like that who are just... You know, I think they're probably pretty decent friends in real life, but have some animosity. It's just an awesome, awesome feeling for him to do, if you could do that.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I actually have a tweet from The Cream Van. And it says, how do you become best friends with Johnny Bananas, Bus Driver's Route? How do you do it?
You suck up a lot. You buy a bobblehead. You say nice things about him. No, I don't know.
Do you buy the Johnny Bananas a drink at the bar?
I would have, but they get free drinks wherever they go for these little after parties. So I did not have to buy Mr. I would have loved to buy Bananas a drink.
I wasn't specifically referring to you either.
No,
I mean, definitely not.
How was that? I honestly think the only place that these people buy drinks is when they're on the challenge. I think at other events, other venues, everyone's buying them drinks. So this is where they have to pony up some cash.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How was that? We never really talked about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't bring it up last week because I wasn't sure it was 100% going to happen, but the reunion was filmed this past Saturday, and then me and a couple friends, who, not you, but we went to the after party in New York, saw some of the cast. I was able to avoid pretty much all spoilers, so don't worry, anything I say is not with an asterisk. I was very... very stingent on not knowing anything that's going to happen.
Believe me, he would admit if he found out. Ruined it for all of us like the past three seasons, so it's okay.
Yeah, this time though, I've been spoiler free since not 93, but
since 14.
Yes, spoiler free since 14. It was a lot of fun. You know, they're a lot of them are down there with guys. Even like someone like Naya, who was there, was very cool despite our tumultuous past. I don't think she
Did she remember you? That's the question.
If she does, she brushed it off. I did not bring up the fact that she blocks me on Twitter. I didn't know how I was going to handle. I don't know. She might have some alcohol on her system. I don't want to risk some type of incident. But no, she was very cool. I mean, Leroy is like the nicest guy in the world, as you would expect. I mean, he's like going up to people, introducing himself to them rather than the other way around. Bananas is talking about where he gets all of his shoes and promoting, obviously, his Bananas clothing line all the time. But, I mean, they're like regular guys. I mean, they're a little intimidating the first approach, but once you start talking to them, they're normal people.
And this is why you just explained why I don't go meet them at the bar. I don't want to know them as normal people.
You just want to know the characters.
I just like observing them on TV. It's totally fine with me.
I'm just removing
myself from that.
Yeah. No, it's a fun time, though. If anyone can try to get to a reunion or an after party, I recommend doing it at least once. It's a very fun experience.
I wanted to go back to one quote that Zach said, just because I don't know if you heard this. I thought it was hilarious. And we didn't have our normal 3 a.m. where I inundate the group chat with my text messages.
Right.
Yeah, I made sure not to.
Because we all watch the show at very different times, so we have like various discussions about it throughout the week.
And I'm always last, and I always get, wow, my God, and point rulings when I'm not watching. It's great. I love being everyone's friend, especially Brian. It's awesome. Zach said, I'm a Wolverine. I'm a champion. And I am going to steal that for Fantasy Smack Talk all season. I love that.
It really is so disappointing that Zach has a title under his belt from Battle of the Seasons, because that would be a fun thing to mock him for. They think he can't win, but I mean, he already won, so it's like...
Yeah, he won as a rookie, right?
Yeah. It was a very weird season. It was basically all rookies. Like, the only veterans was really Wes, but it was a very weird season.
I already blocked it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping that format was not that ideal. Either the format wasn't good or the cast wasn't that good. It was kind of a weak season.
They really need to go back to the gauntlet.
Yeah, so I know Allie and I have discussed what we want to see. What do you want to see next for next season?
The gauntlet.
Yeah?
Yes, they need to go back to some... I'm tired of teams. Can we just get umano e mano? That's all I ask for. That's it.
I mean, the official push for the RHAP is for a fresh meet next season, because we think there's too many non-single people in the Challenge universe right now, so we need some young, drunk, 22-year-olds.
See, that's why I think the gauntlet works, because you could have, like, 24 people. You used to have tons of people on those shows, and those episodes, those seasons were gone for a while. Half-hour episodes back in the day before this hour-long bullshit.
Yeah, I never experienced the half-hour episode.
It's crazy. It went from half-hour of partying to hour-long snooze fests. I'm just joking, MTV. I love the show, but come on, a little hooking up, a little partying. Maybe a 12 o'clock MTV2 Big Brother After Dark style show.
I'm just spitballing. That's a great pitch. I love that idea.
So we didn't discuss this earlier. I guess I meant to bring this up at the beginning.
Yeah, bring it up now. This is a good point.
I mean, it's a great discussion right now, about an hour in.
Yeah.
If people have even made it this far, thank you if you have. Again, I won't be here all week.
This will be here once, hopefully.
Yeah, very hopefully. This has gone swimmingly so far, but Nia dropped pussy on TV. You ever remember that happening?
Yeah, not really. And like you said, they even spelt it out.
Just in case you didn't get what she was talking about.
Just in case you didn't hear her say pussy, we're going to spell it out so you see it. I guess that has to just be the 11 o'clock time slot. That maybe they have more lenient rules.
I love the 11 p.m. then. Let's stick to this. I don't know.
Maybe they can keep pushing it. Maybe like see less blurred lines next season. Maybe this is like a...
They could easily get more than an hour out of this.
Put the challenge on HBO.
I don't know how the ratings are, but...
I don't know there either, but hope they do well.
I'm literally going through the Facebook thread looking for a good question now. I feel like I should read one question. I know I shouted out somebody before and gave Vincent Cloud a plus one. I didn't forget about you, Vincent Cloud. That was a big moment in this podcast.
Here's one. Gregory Contreras says, other than Jay and Jenna, would you say the teams to make the Final Four were the best teams possible?
Bananas and Nani probably need to be in there, but...
I mean, I guess the only team you would probably replace them with would be, I guess, Leroy and Nia, but they did beat them, so... I mean, not like Leroy and Nia didn't earn their spot.
Very true. Very true.
I think...
Yeah, it sounds like we're winding down.
Yeah, I mean, well, we can end it on this. Allie Lasher says, where's Allie? Asking for a friend. Hopefully she's back next week, but we shall see.
Who's your MVP of the episode? Let me ask that. Or the season. I guess it could be either or.
I think it's got to be Wes. I mean...
Wes of the whole season so far?
Yeah, I mean, Wes, I mean, they've won at least two or three challenges. They've done well on basically all the other ones. They've controlled the game through and through. So, I mean, Leroy's making a late push. And if Leroy somehow overtakes Wes in, like, a final situation, I think he can make a push to take MVP. But right now, my vote house has to go to Wes.
See, I think I got Nia. I've been really impressed by her.
Yeah. No, she's been very good. You know, she's as in attacked people with deadly weapons, so
I expect nothing from her in these challenges. I don't know why, but just she's impressed me. I really think she had a hand in that political move this week, and I don't know.
Yeah, she's been great. I've definitely started warming up with her. Obviously, like I said, meeting her changed my opinion a little bit, too. She's much calmer and nicer than I thought she would be. But even just looking at from the basis of this season, she's been great. She has been great.
Nia, unblock at Bus Driver's route. Come on.
Real Nia Moore.
Give Bus Driver a chance. Hashtag.
I come in peace.
Hashtag give Bus Driver a chance. Let's make that happen.
We'll make that'll be the hashtag.
Did you ever anybody ever know why your bus driver?
I don't think so. You know, actually funny. Some people will randomly ask me if I'm actually a bus driver, which is really funny.
Yeah,
I'm not actually a bus driver. I have a full-time job.
I don't know, part-time bus driver, part-time podcaster, obviously.
I'm actually doing this with, like, a bunch of... Wow, I was about to say a joke, but it's probably going to sound really creepy, so I'm not going to say
Were you going to say, I'm actually doing this joke with a bunch of kids?
I was about to say, there's a bunch of kids with me right now, but that was going to end very bad. The bus driver is actually just a weird nickname I got back in middle school, and I decided to incorporate it into my blog.
Yeah, it's because you wore a bus. It's because he wore sweatshirts that you would find on a bus driver every day. Yeah. I didn't even go to the middle school with him. I know about this.
Yeah. It became pretty synonymous, especially when I threw my little break in my baseball career.
I don't know. I felt like you needed to share something with the audience. If I'm here, bring it up.
Yeah, bring back all my skeletons. This will be Arhab skeleton season.
I actually have not watched an episode of that this season.
It's
spoiler alert. Another unpopular opinion alert.
There's a couple of challenge prospects.
I don't care. Let me just say I'm out on Real World if they're coming up with any more of these kooky theme bullshits. Because whatever happened to real straight real world? Put it in Vegas, put it in Miami, put it in New York. Boom. You got a show.
It's like the Super Bowl. They should just cycle between a few different locations every year.
It's not difficult. It's not difficult to figure out at all.
It would never be a Real World would never be bad if it was in Vegas or New Orleans or New York.
Like, never. I mean, it's all dependent on bars, but never know.
Yeah. I think that's just about.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost season 3 premiere of Party Down South. Thank you, Challenge, for reminding me. It's the only commercial I stopped on last episode.
I don't watch that.
Shout out. You should.
Out to that.
It's Redneck Real World. Better than the Real World now. Let's just say that.
Probably true.
Yeah, not as good as Jersey Shore. So on the pecking order, it goes Jersey Shore, Party Down South, Real World. Just get that straight.
I miss Jersey Shore. I would like to see Situation show up for one of these.
By the way, for anyone who's ready, House of Cards marathon tonight.
Yes. But does it start at midnight? Is that when it officially launches? Or is it like sometime tomorrow?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it starts at midnight, but last year, don't quote me on this, pretty sure it started 12 o'clock midnight West Coast time. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So that means I'll be up at 3 in the morning, and as at the steamer pointed out very aptly, I will not be tweeting about it.
Yeah, your Twitter game is very weak.
You have
a very good Twitter profile, little quotes. I love the aspiring Real World cameraman. That's great.
Oh, man, they should really hire me as a producer.
It's a great job. It's a fantastic job. Or you should change to aspiring semi-truck challenge driver.
I'm definitely not going to put aspiring real-world podcast host. That won't be going up.
I think you did a good job.
We were entertaining mildly, maybe.
Decently enough. We'll call it hashtag for this episode to be Naya give Brian a chance. It's very long, but it's apropos.
I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought it'd be a little bit meaner, but...
Oh, you were well behaved. Good job.
Yeah, that's very disappointing.
So, if you want to tweet your love, where can everyone find you on Twitter, Mr. Dane?
I believe it's at Danerson25.
I believe you don't even know your Twitter handle. Nah, that's how weak your Twitter game is.
I change it like every 3 months. I don't know. When was the last time I tweeted? A year ago?
I don't know. The last time you tweeted, I think, was when you retweeted my Happy New Year thing. So
that's always good. There we go. Shout out to my non-existent Twitter feed. Hashtag I'm gonna start tweeting. It just rolls off the tongue.
I'm probably way too active on Twitter, but you can find me at Bus Drivers Route. Now you know a little bit more why I am the bus driver, so there you go. You can subscribe robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Dane, it's been fun.
Biko, thank you very much.
Good rookie podcast.
Yeah, I don't know how good it is. I'm on West's side. Hey, I'm definitely hashtag Wes Heyman guy.
you need to start writing some of the promos for these people. That would be amazing.
Oh my god, that's my dream life. That's my dream in life. And on that note, because I can barely talk,
my dream in life is for everyone to not unsubscribe after this podcast, but well, you shall see. Talk to you all next week. Until then, have a good one.